Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we're continuing our study in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. You'll recall that God had worked a beautiful, miraculous healing of a man who was 40 years old and who had been crippled and day after day placed at the entrance to the temple there in Jerusalem. And now he's been healed, and people were stunned by that, and they're asking, how did this happen? What's going on? And Peter had told them, this was accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you killed and whom God has raised to life. And so the authorities are really upset by this. Beginning in chapter 4, at the beginning of the chapter, the priests and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people, and they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them, they put them in jail, and now we begin in verse 5, and we see this mini trial that takes place. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, this is God's word. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they've done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. To stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, I want you to remember who it was that Peter and John were standing before. They're on trial. But who were the people who were the prosecution and the judges? They were the same people who got word from the guards that were posted at Jesus' tomb. You remember back in Matthew, we have the account of this huge earthquake and the stone being rolled back and angels appearing, and it was so terrifying that these guards, who were like the Marines, these were elite fighters, they were so terrified that they fell on the ground as if dead. The guards didn't fall asleep. They fell down like dead men because of fear when they saw what happened. And then, having experienced that, they went to these folks, to the high priest and his family. It was a kind of a crime syndicate. Families sometimes do that sort of thing, whether they're in politics or religion, sadly. But what happened here was that now those guys who thought they got rid of Jesus, they had him crucified, and then, oh no, what are we going to do? He's back. He rose from the dead. Well, let's just keep that story from getting out. They paid off the guards and said, you guys tell this other lie that you fell asleep and his disciples came and took away the body. Those are the guys that Peter and John are having to stand before. It's a bunch of religious crooks. And believe me, there are still plenty of religious crooks today. They want power. They don't want to surrender their lives to the Lord. Well, the question was asked by the religious elite. By what power or what name did you do this? How did you do this? I mean, we can't deny that something amazing has happened, but by what authority did you do this? They used to ask Jesus that question. And so when they asked Peter and John, in what name, by what power did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed. Now, that's called going ahead and zinging them before you give the rest of your answer. That's exactly what Peter did. He said, I want to be sure I understand this. We're in trouble because we did something nice for a guy who was crippled? Is that what we're talking about here? Is that your question? Okay, if that's your question, then let me give you the answer. This was done in the power and the authority of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified. He's the Christ. You crucified him, but God raised him to life. And it is because he is alive that this has happened. Now, again, Peter didn't beat around the bush. He didn't sort of dance around, well, I don't want to say something that's going to make these guys feel uncomfortable. I mean, if I start talking about Jesus, they're going to already be squirming. And if I say, you know, Jesus who recently died, but we believe is now alive again, even that might make them uncomfortable. No, he just goes straight in. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. That's pretty strong. That's about as strong as you can be. He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected. They knew these scriptures. They had memorized a ton of scripture. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. You see, God had already said what was going to happen. It was no surprise. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. If you don't get anything else from today's message, please grab hold of that verse and let it hold on to you. There is no other way for a person to be reconciled to God. If you see a celebrity pastor on a talk show asked the awkward question of, well, what about people who are sincere followers of another religion? Well, it's not up to me to judge. No, it's not. So why don't you answer the question honestly based on what the one you claim as your Lord and Savior says? Jesus did say on one occasion, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He did say that. Yeah. So why would anybody be ashamed of that? We know the answer. Jesus is the only way that anyone anywhere will ever be saved. Jesus said so, and now Peter is speaking by the Holy Spirit. When they spoke this way and said what they did, the religious leaders were stunned because they knew that these guys didn't go to an Ivy League school. Okay? They were not part of the religious establishment. They hadn't been credentialed. They were ordinary, unschooled men. Now, that doesn't mean that they were ignorant. It means they didn't have their degrees from the right program that was accredited. Peter's quoting the scriptures. Why? Because Peter knew the scriptures. Later on in the book of Acts, when God tells him, rise, Peter, kill and eat, and it's a bunch of animals that were forbidden under the old covenant, Peter doesn't say, really, it's okay? He says, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. He was a religious guy. Don't let anybody paint a false picture of Peter as kind of this, you know, bad boy. He wasn't. He was impetuous. He often said the wrong thing. He always had something to say. But he was a devout Jew who knew the scriptures. But he hadn't been to their schools. He hadn't gotten the advanced degree. Years ago, David Wilkerson, who was a not very well educated from the world standpoint, country preacher out of West Virginia, read an article about all the young people who were dying from gang violence and drugs in New York City and felt burdened by God to go to New York City and try and win those young people to Christ. Well, let me just tell you, there were a whole bunch of scholars who said it couldn't be done. But God used that unschooled, ordinary man from West Virginia, not only to reach a ton of gang members and addicts in New York, but to start a movement that stretches around the globe and is the most effective substance abuse treatment program that anybody can find. There are other groups doing good things, but let me tell you, nobody has had better results than Teen Challenge. How do they do it? What drugs do they use? They don't use drugs. Is it hypnosis? No. No. What they do is they introduce people to Jesus, and Jesus sets people free. Are you saying that if I'm a Christian, I won't ever have any struggles with addiction? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you want to get free from any sin pattern, the place you need to turn, first and foremost, is to Jesus. Can Jesus use medication? Absolutely. He can use medication to help people with all kinds of problems. Does Jesus have to use medication in order to help people with all kinds of problems? No, he does not. He tailor makes his treatment plan for each individual. But the biggest thing he did was to take all of our guilt, all of our sin, all of our punishment upon himself. He died and then conquered death so that you and I can be reconciled to God, not just forgiven, but reconciled to God, made part of his family forever. Hallelujah. So, they took note. It says they were astonished in verse 13, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You see, that was the key. The reason that Peter and John were able to respond as they did is because they'd been with Jesus. When Jesus is at the center, it brings life change.
Folks, you may be listening to this broadcast from miles away from Ware's Valley, miles away from East Tennessee, and be shocked to learn that Ware's Valley Ranch is helping children from families all across the country, even where you are. That's right, where you are. We've helped children from California to New England states, all across the Southeast, up in the Midwest, all over the U.S. Now, I tell you this because there may be a child in a difficult situation in your community. And if you become aware of a situation, you're welcome to point them to us at WVR.org. It can be a tough conversation with a family member, so please call us if you would like guidance on how to approach them. It could mean the opportunity of a lifetime for a child in crisis. To reach our admissions office, you can call 865-429-0372.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, if you think back to Matthew chapter 10, Jesus told his disciples that there would be people who would not appreciate their ministry. In Matthew 10, verse 17, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's what was happening here. What does it say at the start of this passage? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. That's why Peter answered the way he did. The Holy Spirit was speaking through him. I'm just telling you, this whole book from Genesis to Revelation is not about the great things that people can do if they just put their mind to it. No. You know the great kind of things that people can do? We can build a tower, okay? We can build an amazing tower that we think is going to lift us up into the heavens. And God says, oh, no, that's not the plan. We'll see it even in the early church. Jesus had said, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They thought, well, you know, I'd kind of like to just stay here in Jerusalem. So God scattered them throughout the whole earth. And that's why we've got the gospel here in Tennessee. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God doesn't say, oh, I had a plan. Oh, what am I going to do now? He's going to do exactly what he promised. He's going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. George Barna was on YouTube this morning. I probably recorded it a while back. But on YouTube this morning, my wife found an interview with George Barna talking, lamenting the sad state of the so-called evangelical church in America. High percentage of people in American churches, about a third of the people in American churches who, you know, don't read their Bibles. And as far as their beliefs, they are not believing that Jesus is the only way of salvation, etc. And these are self-identifying Christians who go to so-called evangelical churches. And the interviewer said to him, why do you think so many people in so-called evangelical churches don't believe the essentials of the faith? He said, well, I think for one thing, because so many pastors are not willing to talk about things like sin. I may be accused of a lot of things, but I don't think that's probably one of the things people will say about me. When I talk about something being sinful, or I talk about humans being sinful, I'm not an extraterrestrial, okay? I'm not saying, you humans are sinful. Why can't you be like me? No. I'm saying all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I didn't make that up. It's a verse out of the Bible. But folks, we have the cure. We have the cure. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But he is Lord. That means he's boss. He's ruler. He's master. He's in charge. And if you believe in him in the sense of saving faith, trusting in him, then your life is under new management. You're not the boss anymore. You're not saying, well, I don't want to, so I won't. You're saying, Lord, what would you have me do? So, since they could see the man who'd been healed standing there with them, I do want you to notice that. The guy who was formerly crippled, that everybody knew he was such a fixture there at the entrance to the temple, he's now standing with the guys who were on trial, Peter and John. He wasn't on trial, but he showed up for their court case. He's like, well, I'd like to go with you. Okay? You're going to be before the Sanhedrin? I'll go. I'm Exhibit A. Folks, are you empirical evidence for the fact that Jesus Christ is alive? You don't have to have been an alcoholic or a drug addict. But all of us were headed for hell. All of us were addicted to self. All of us wanted our way. And when Jesus comes, he changes us. And so you are evidence that Jesus is alive and that he changes people. And that even when we really mess up, that's not the end of the story. If you are trusting in Jesus, you have a future and a hope. And there are a lot of people who don't have that hope. And they need to know that Jesus changes lives. He's not put off by our sin. He died for our sin. Hallelujah. So, what are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But we got to stop this thing from spreading. Obviously, their plan did not work. We must warn these men not to speak any longer to anyone in this name. We got to stop this Jesus thing. So then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, well, we've been taught to submit to authority, so I guess we'll do that. No. They said, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. As we often say around here, no one has the authority to command what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. We're not looking to pick a fight, but we're looking to obey the Lord. And if somebody comes along and says, you can't do that, they're wrong. They're wrong. Well, if you do that, there's going to be hell to pay. Well, actually, if you keep on this way, there's going to be hell to pay. I'll just be in trouble with you. You understand? We cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. And so the Sanhedrin, the high priest, the rulers of the people made a bunch more threats and then let them go. And God willing, next week we're going to look at how they responded when they went back to be with their brothers and sisters in Christ.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.acts.org.